Welcome to episode one of the Coin Rejects, talking about vintage arcade game collecting, restoring, and playing sometimes.
No high scores.
No high scores? Not in this group.
We suck.
I'm sitting here with Brandon and Ian, part of the Portland Arcade Collector Group. Introduce yourselves, gentlemen.
What's up?
I'm Brandon. How's it going?
Hi, I'm Ian. I guess I'll be the king of cabarets whenever Todd Tuckey dies.
There you go. And off the mic, we have Jordan.
Hello. Jordan is the moral support. He just drinks beer, takes pictures.
He gets us new beer when we run out.
So I guess we'll start off by talking about how each one of us got into collecting arcade games. That's a pretty good way to start, right?
It is, yeah.
So Brandon, why don't you hit us off? What was your first game? How did you get into collecting?
I think my first game, well, actually the first cabinet was a Sega Astro City. So it's not really a game. More of a JAMA, JVS cab. I got into it because I was just kind of getting a... I think I was just online one day, and I was just researching games I used to play.
And since games
Well, I'm getting there. You know,
Did you grow up in Japan?
Yeah.
What do you mean?
Yeah, I'm Japanese. So I pretty much, you know, got most of my arcade fill in the 90s, so I was more familiar with Street Fighter, Mortal Kombat, Final Fight, you know, just mostly JAMA. And the top hit for most of those games were the Neo Geo forums. And pretty much everyone on the Neo Geo forums had a Candy Cab or, you know, a Big Red. But anyways, that just kind of led me in the world of games. And I suddenly was researching different cabinets, and the Japanese Candy Cabs caught my eye. So I pursued one of those as my first cab. It's also sit-down cab, so it's nice and comfortable. And I thought it'd be fun for the kids and I. So that pretty much kicked it off. But then I realized that as an adult and with a new family, you don't really have anyone else to play with. So a lot of the 90s JAMA games weren't doing it for me.
Right.
And that's kind of when I moved over to, you know, like Clav and...
Real games.
Yeah, real games.
Classic games.
I grew up. Because then I realized that, you know, hey, there's games that are challenging that pretty much never end, so to speak. And then from that point, I sold my Candy Cab and kind of took a break. And I'll just leave it there for now.
So you discovered most of the classics after you started collecting.
Correct.
Gotcha. Let's move it to Ian, king of cabarets.
Viscount of cabarets.
Count.
Yeah. All my games are basically games that I played on PC or, you know, home system ports that I really enjoyed. I remember when the golden age of video games was happening, but I was too young to really play, and I never really had quarters to put in the games. So a lot of my games I got because I played PC ports. First game was Tempest. Bought a Tempest Upright from a children's clothing consignment store. They had three or four games in the back. They had Joust, Tempest, I forget what else, a couple others.
Value Village?
No, it's just a no-name place in Tacoma, Washington. And, I mean, I loved Tempest. I'd played all the Microsoft arcade games, actually, is where I played that. They had Tempest, Battlezone, and Asteroids. And I just played the shit out of those games. So Tempest was always my favorite, and I really wanted to have an arcade game. You know, I was into it for a long time, but I didn't understand that it wasn't thousands of dollars per machine. And then I swung a deal for it. It didn't actually work. It was a broken game, and I paid $500 for it, but it was in nice shape. Bought that, fixed it over the course of a year or so.
And was that a Tempest?
Yeah, Tempest Upright.
Typical noob trap of overpaying for a dead game.
Right.
But we all did it.
Yeah. I mean, as far as it goes, I mean, I got my money back out of it. But yeah, knowing what I know now, I wouldn't make that. But I don't regret it because it got me into this. Second game I ever bought was Asteroids Deluxe Mini. And I'd been to the Seattle, Northwest Pinball and Arcade Show. And they had a couple cabarets there, and I was just drawn to them. So
the bland wood grain?
Yeah.
The disease started?
The wood grain. I don't know. I mean, I didn't really know what the hell was going on. I was like, is this a prototype? I don't even know. but I was just drawn to them. I thought they were just super awesome. So
it didn't start to save space. It just started as you were drawn to the smaller games.
Yep. I just thought that they were awesome. So I was into it. I don't know. Can't explain it. I love wood grain.
You started the right way. You just went straight for the classics.
Oh, yeah. Straight for the classics. I have a couple newer machines, but, you know, bulk of it is classics.
So what year are these that we're talking about? What year did you start collecting?
That was 2010.
And Brandon?
2007 or so.
Okay. And Jordan says 2005 for those keeping score at home. Any more to add, Ian?
I just kept buying cabarets. I've got, I don't know, high 20s at this point. And I only have a handful of uprights. I think I have 5 uprights total.
It's a nice cabaret collection.
It's good.
I see is wood grain.
Even
wall to wall.
We're recording this in my game room. Right. And out of every machine here, there's a single upright and a single pinball machine and a single... cocktail machine, every other game in here, and I have low 20s, I would say, roughly, is a mini, and the one upright is Taxcan, which is also wood grain.
Son of a bitch!
Keeping with the theme.
You had to do it, didn't you?
And they all fit nicely in the room, so, I mean, there's something to be said about cabarets. Their size.
Yeah.
Yeah, one side of Doctor Who is pretty faded, so I'm just gonna slap some wood grain right up on that.
That'd be awesome. I think we'll just wait. We'll switch over to Brian now because I want to make fun of the cabarets later.
You can't fuck with my cabarets.
Well, I started, I wouldn't say it's my official start, but the first cabinet that I got was a Joust machine, and that was in about 1996. And that was out of the classifieds of the newspaper that I found this machine. And, picked it up for pretty cheap, and at that point I kind of felt like, well, this is the pinnacle of game collecting. I've got one cabinet. I mean, what else what else could I have? It's crazy. You don't have more than one cabinet. So I pretty much went that way for years until the Joust would break occasionally and I wouldn't know how to fix it. So moved to Portland and I looked up the group here and thinking that
sad losers
that I could get in with these sad losers and go to some of the repair parties they would throw and learn a bit about the machine, which I did, and quickly got my Joust back working, and that put me on the path of finding arcade games. So the next one I looked for was Gyrus, which I discovered at California Extreme.
Love Gyrus.
And I was like, well, I really like this game. It's probably one of my favorite games right now. So I just started doing Craigslist searches and found one about 200 miles away or so, and borrowed someone's truck and went and picked it up, and the rest is history. I think the third game I bought was from Brandon, which was a 720.
Yeah.
And just kind of went from there. I think my official collecting started sometime around 2011 or 2012, so I'm kind of the newest member as far as collecting and restoring and working on these games goes, but... I have a master collection, I guess, of around 10 games. I don't have very much space. I'm very space poor. So,
should have bought a cabaret.
Yeah, more cabarets.
Shouldn't have sold your cabaret.
I did sell my cabaret.
Well, you bought another one with the money, right?
Maybe. We'll see.
Yeah. What's the furthest you've ever driven to pick up a game?
The Gyrus.
200?
It was a couple hundred miles away, somewhere in Washington.
Gyrus. Yeah, I went to Seattle. I picked up that Wacko. I don't know if you remember.
I went with you.
You did? You did?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. You did?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that was a quick... I was just looking for Robotrons, actually, and for some reason it popped up as, like, Robotron with, you know, dual interface, basically, you know, move with one input and shoot.
That's kind of a stretch, really.
Yeah, a little bit.
Yeah, but that's how it was listed. It actually popped up as Robotron in the keyword, so it's like Robotron, sweet.
Yeah. Wacko's a cool game, though. Yeah. Nice cabinet.
It was okay.
How long did you keep that?
Are we already to that point?
Because we know you still don't have it.
Yeah. I don't know. Looking back, I probably sold it a little premature, but then, I don't know. eBay has it. Some eBay guy has it.
We like to give Brandon a little shit because he has a bad habit of buying games and then selling them 2 weeks later.
I I make games happen for other people. Like the 720.
He's the picker.
You know, and then Wacko, Space Tool, Gravatar.
You had Gravatar and Space Tool for a while.
Yeah, a couple of years.
Q-Bird, and then you got it back.
But it's kind of funny because we all kind of met each other, I think, the first time selling games to each other. Because I remember me and you met with a 720.
Yep.
I think I met Ian the first time when he sold me Clax.
Yep.
Which is when, I think that was the first game when I, after my hiatus, that I came back to purchase. So that was like the first re-entry game, which was kind of an odd choice, but...
That was a nice game.
I liked it. Just as a single game, you know, the only game that you have, it kind of wears down on you.
Yeah. I have my Tetris Mini set up to play it, because I do actually like Clax, but it's kind of... For a dedicated upright, it's kind of crazy. But yeah, it was neat. You know, they made 550 or so of the dedicated upright machines. So it was kind of neat.
So your farthest trip, it wasn't the Dig Dug, was it?
No, that was just down in Corvallis. I think the furthest I've gone is Tri-Cities in Washington. That was all day. That was 8 hours round trip. And that was for my Neo Geo MVS 213 Mini.
I'm looking at Brian as in, was that worth the trip? Because that's another cabaret.
As far as the Neo Geo is concerned, I have to admit I'm not as into Neo Geos as some people are. But hey, if it floats your boat, then it's worth the trip. That's what I say.
It's rare.
It's rare.
It's not rare. It's not rare. but no one who has them wants to sell them for a reasonable price, and it was a reasonable price, so I hauled my ass out there.
I remember playing those. Jordan, you probably remember the Chuck E. Cheese on Powell. There's a McDonald's right next to it. They used to have the Neo Geo Minis there.
I do remember that.
Yeah?
Those buildings are both still there, too.
They are.
So is this a little red Neo Geo? I know you have a few little Neo Geos over there.
I only have the one, but yeah, this is the dedicated red. It looks just like the full-size first version V4 or one or two dedicateds. It's over in the corner there.
I'm thinking of those pink and blue things over there. That's something else.
The machine next to it is the Mini Cute Candy Cab. Okay. I ran a one slot MVS board in there for a while, but that's got Dodonpachi 2 in it at the moment.
Say it again.
Dodonpachi 2.
Say it again.
No.
So now that we have Jordan next to a microphone, Jordan, how did you start collecting? What was your first game?
My first game I bought, I didn't even know what it was. I figured it out later, but when I bought it, well, it was a Double Dragon cabinet, so it was a Taito, you know, the gray cab with the red stripes on the side. It's got a name, but I can't think of it. LS something, but anyhow, it had been converted to a rotary joystick SNK game.
I love those.
And I can't think of what that game was because I don't really love those games.
Heavy Barrel.
Heavy Barrel is awesome.
It wasn't Heavy Barrel. Bermuda Triangle. It was Bermuda
what?
Triangle.
That's not a rotary game, is it?
Yes, that's a rotary joystick game.
What?
Yeah, it's vertical. And so anyhow, I bought this game, and I had found out via the internet about multi-boards. And, yep, that's it.
That's the evil path.
Mm-hmm. So I just knew I needed a cabinet that was JAMA, and I needed a cabinet with a vertical monitor. And I would be able to play all the games of my youth with this one PCB from China.
You would be king shit of fuck mountain.
That's right. That's right.
What year was that?
Probably 2004, 2005. Yeah. And so that's what got me started. And then I found KLOV shortly after that and realized that, well, that's a piece of shit PCB, and the games aren't really emulated very well.
And you're
well.
Not alone, and you're not, you know, what is it, King Shit of Fuck Mountain?
Yeah, and there were lots of King Shits on Fuck Mountain, I found out. So
so after that, you upgraded to the Arcade SD, which is your only game.
That's it, yeah. And I'm done. So, but these guys let me hang out with them anyhow, so it's pretty fun.
Not true.
Come on now.
Anyhow, so that, then I realized I wanted dedicated real games, the games I actually remembered playing when I was a kid. And within a week, I think I picked up a Millipede, that was broken, and I can't keep track anymore. I don't know. There's been a bunch of games since then.
Yeah, I remember right after I moved to Portland, and I still only had the Tempest, because I bought that when I was living in Washington. You were one of the first pack guys I met, because I had no idea what the fuck I was doing, and I needed to test my board. And I went into your basement, and I was like, fuck. Goddamn. I don't know. You have, like...
Describe his basement.
It's a barcade, basically. Barthcade, really.
There you go.
I don't know. You have, what, 30-ish games 30, there?
30-ish games 30-ish. Down there, yeah. And I like to keep them all working, so...
Yeah, who doesn't?
Yeah.
I like mine broken.
You would think some guys do, because anytime you go to their house, they're lucky to get one going for you. I don't know.
Just surrounded by necked Geo7s.
Just pull out tubes to neck them once in a while. Swap some power supplies around so you can blow them up. Well, maybe this power supply will blow up this PCB like it did the other one.
Congratulations. I don't know if you're familiar with the concept of the subtweet, but we have just invented the subcast.
There you go. Yeah, because, you know, after a while, you don't play games anymore. You just break them intentionally to fix them. So, otherwise, you know,
What else are you going to do? Yeah. What else are you going
to
do?
I'd like to describe your basement as I think I went to one of the first parties that we had as a group, and I think that was the one where I printed off name tags. I don't know if that was the first one.
I remember that, yeah, yeah.
It's fucking awesome.
That was one of the early ones, definitely. We were all still getting to know each other. We knew each other through the internet, and then, you know, putting real faces to fake names, and, you know.
Yeah, I just liked it because it's always nice to go down to a basement that's, you know, that's already manicured. It's just, you already have it set how you want it. You already have all the games. And
manicured?
Yeah. You know, it's like a fucking museum.
I prefer curated.
There you go, curated.
Manicurated.
Oh, yeah.
Manicurated, that's it.
Oh. Yeah.
No hangnails, please.
It's worse. It's only 5% alcohol in this beer. You don't polish your leg levelers?
Yeah, leg leveler fluffer.
Yeah, manicured. it was nice to go down there because I didn't play half those games, and I almost built my collection around just going to your house every time and just playing all the games. I found out, you know, what games I really didn't like, what games I liked, and, you know, the ones that I, because you have to actually own the game. That's like part of the reason of, you know, selling them sometimes so fast, because I can go to your house, I could play a game, I could play it once, probably drunk, and it'll be awesome. I go to buy it, you know, last maybe like a month, and I'm like, yeah, it doesn't really have any staying power. You have to have some of your own taste, so.
There's games I probably haven't played in months. I mean, you have to come around to them once in a while, or I don't know, I can't.
Yeah.
I don't have that much time, but.
I go through phases for sure. You know, I'll just play one or two games all the time. But, I don't know, I feel like I don't generally buy stuff unless I know what I'm in for. There's not a lot of games. Actually, I can't think of any game I've bought where I've been like, oh, this sucks, I'm selling it. Like, I pretty much know up front if it sucks.
I did a few of those early on in my collecting when it was just like, buy anything. You know, like, oh yeah, it's $200. Yes, I got to get it. And then, and then that's when you realize, like, the 90s games that you just keep plugging quarters in, that they don't really have any staying power, you know. Doesn't really translate well to a home environment.
Now you say $200, and you know, if you're looking in the regions of arcade collectors, that can be considered expensive. But over here in Oregon, our games are a little bit more overpriced, I think, because
depends on the game.
A lot of the titles that you've been talking about that you initially collected usually go for like $75 to $150, you know, in the Mideast, and it's like,
get this out of here.
Every game that we can get a hold of, when we were new, we didn't really care what the price was as much.
I'll still pretty much buy anything for $200.
It's got a nice monitor.
No. Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Almost.
Yeah. Non-neck tube. I mean.
Fresh top. Brand new top. Gotta get the new tops on those machines, man.
Yeah, definitely all the games that I've got are ones that I either played when I was a kid or discovered soon after, but I did discover Games of California Extreme. Like, I discovered Gyrus there. I discovered Major Havoc at California Extreme. That was when I'd never played in the arcade.
That's a rare game.
It definitely is.
Good night.
And so, like, with limited space, you kind of zero in on the ones that you really want. And you don't, for a while there, I was buying some games, C1 for relatively cheap and just pick it up. But quickly I learned that if I'm going to have games and be able to play them actually, that I needed to zero in on the ones that I wanted and not have a lot of fluff, which my house doesn't allow for fluff.
Yeah.
Is it a manicured collection?
It's definitely manicured.
Yeah, I don't know. Are there any games that you didn't find out about until you had started collecting? I have a couple in that.
There's like, lots.
Yeah.
You know, I definitely built my collection around games that I had fond memories of playing, even if it wasn't directly in an arcade. But stuff like Spectar, you know, I kind of bought that because it was cheap and I expected it to suck. And then
you like the big stick?
I do. I love the big stick. It has got a massive joystick. But once I fixed it and actually started playing it, I got really into it. And it's honestly one of my favorite games. It has the worst graphics, but just great gameplay. I also never was aware of Crazy Climber until I started collecting, and Tax Scan was definitely a game that I had never heard of, and then I saw it in MAME or something, and was very lucky that I was able to track one of those down.
Yeah, I was going to say, Tax Scan was, the first time I played it was here.
Yeah.
I think at the last get-together, and I was like, this game is freaking amazing.
Yeah,
I've never heard about it, ever.
It's because the hardware is terrible. Hardware is just horrible.
And most of the games.
Yeah, I mean, it's bad. It's inexcusable, but yeah, it's...
except for the wood grain, that's... You know,
oh yeah, that's the one redeeming quality is the wood grain. It's crazy. I'd never played it. I just found out about it and lucked into it. I mean, I'm probably more money into that game than anything else in here.
It's because it's the tallest one.
It is, yeah. You can see the bills stacked all the way to the top. Yeah.
I think the some of the games I didn't know about was pretty much, besides, you know, the top 10 games of all time, you know, Pac-Man and all that, the only arcade game I remember playing that was, you know, considered a classic, like the farthest back I can go is Space Invaders. And then after that, I think I just fell into the console stuff because, you know, that came out in, what, 79? Is that right?
I think so.
And,
He's craning over to look at my Space Invaders trim line.
That he used to own.
Yes, which I bought from him.
Anyways, it was seven.
I have another one in my garage.
Actually, there's a copyright of 1981 on the marquee, so I don't know.
That game had staying power.
Yeah.
But yes, I believe it was 79 when that game came out.
But it was clearly 85, 86 when I first played it. And then, you know, I just fell into consoles, 2600, NES, and then I don't remember anything until all of a sudden Street Fighter, Mortal Kombat. I think I was just not in the right era just to appreciate most of the classics. And if I play them, you know, I remember playing maybe like Namco Shoot Away at Chuck E. Cheese on Powell, but that's about it.
Mortal Kombat brought me back into the arcade, and that was around the time I remember on the PS1... that the Williams Arcade Greatest Hits came out, and that was one of the first arcade collections on, like, newer game consoles, and I remember getting that, and I was blown away. I was like, because I didn't play these games in years, and all of a sudden you've got Jaws and Sinistar and Robotron all on one disc, and there's some crazy, like, behind-the-scenes little videos of Eugene Jarvis talking about the good old days of putting them together. But yeah, Mortal Kombat got me back playing arcade games. I remember playing them at college and then picking up the console releases like day of release and playing them. So after that, it got me in the arcades as part of playing Mortal Kombat and Tekken and stuff like that. But
yeah, buddy.
Yeah. And my Jazz Machine. So
I feel like the PlayStation 1 was really the first home console that had decent ports of Coin-Op games. I remember I played just obscene quantities of Raiden on that machine. There was a couple collections of Raiden games, and Raiden 2 is a game that I did play a lot when it was still popular in arcades. I remember, I think it was my second job I ever had, was at a photography studio, and there was a shitty teriyaki joint in the same strip mall, and they had a Raiden 2. So I'd just go there and get like terrible hamburgers and feed quarters into Raiden 2.
Terrible hamburgers at a teriyaki place.
Well, I mean, any hamburger at a teriyaki place is going to be terrible by definition. But yeah, I mean, I remember, you know, the thing about the home ports that I played a lot of is that they are shitty. They're just really shitty, horrible, irredeemable games. And so seeing a game that was so close to the coin-op version on a console was really amazing.
Yeah, especially when you're talking about the the ports to like the 2600 or something, which was my
universally sucked.
Well, my first experience with ports and playing that version of Pac-Man was pretty awful, and Donkey Kong.
So I remember the first port that I ever saw that I thought was, oh my god, this is close to the arcade. It was Donkey Kong on the ColecoVision. And at that point, I just played 2600 ports. And when that came out, it was like, wow, like consoles can one day be as good as arcade games. I can almost see it now. And I don't know, I was like 8 or something like that, or 10, who knows. But
well, that was the ColecoVision's pitch, right? Is that they played closer to the arcade than any other home system.
Yeah, I think they did really, really well on that game. I had this fat, rich friend, and he got all the cool stuff. And, yeah, I didn't have any of that shit. I didn't even have a 2600.
No, man, who hasn't had the fat, rich friend? They're really some of the best friends to have. Yeah, I remember I had the Atari did a bunch of coin-op ports for the Texas Instruments TI-99-4A, and I remember those being pretty good. I had Donkey Kong and Pac-Man, and like at the time, I thought they were really, really good ports for that system. Just generally based on the quality of games for that system, they were head and shoulders above anything else. You know, like the sort of Parsec and Chisholm Trail type shit that came out there. They were really good ports.
Chisholm Trail?
Chisholm Trail, that's right. Snail Trail.
Parsec?
And then I also remember Wizard of War on the Commodore 64 as being a pretty awesome port. And I also remember Outrun on C64 being...
Really?
Like, I remember it being pretty good, but in retrospect, I think it was just the badass Sid music version of all of the Outrun songs, which were like really top notch.
Commodore had some good games. I remember having a Commodore just for the games.
Oh yeah, I mean it was useless for anything else.
So there was that.
That's all I ever wanted a PC or a home computer for when I was a kid. I had a VIC-20 and then I had a 64, and it was just all about playing games and the possibility of playing games for free. I mean, I had a friend who would go to pizza parties, and you would swap discs, and that's how you would get your new games for your 64. So it was like, you know, before there was any other way of trading files, that was it. You would show up, and you'd go hang out with the nerds, is what we'd call it. And
you're still doing it.
Nothing's changed. So, and you could get games. And speaking of good port, Gyrus. There was awesome Gyrus for the Commodore 64 that I remember playing.
I don't think I ever played that.
I remember I played a really super weird Galaga port for a C64 that was all done with those like shitty blocky text graphics. I mean, it was kind of amazing because it was very true to the original. I mean, they have the same patterns and everything, but it's like, you know, every character is 3 pixels. it was pretty intense. Yeah, C64 is definitely pretty close to the top of the heap for 80s home machines that are game-centric. So many good games for that system.
I think that's why, maybe that's why I never followed along with the classics, is because I chose the NES, you know, and they didn't really pursue arcade ports, and so I just kind of got lost in the console world.
Well, I mean, I feel like Nintendo did a lot of first-party ports to the NES. And there was definitely, like, Ghost and Goblins was a pretty popular NES title.
I didn't play it.
It's a good game. You should play it.
I have played it, but I didn't have it back then.
It could be that they understood the limitations of their hardware, too, that they didn't want to go fall the same way that Atari did with the 2600. You know, trying to port this, trying to port that, and everything just looked like shit. And eventually people just said, well, fuck this. It looks like shit.
Or maybe it's that they had a machine that was powerful enough to make games that did not look like shit.
Or the seal of quality.
Yes, you are absolutely right. It was the seal of quality. And the fucking robot. Yeah.
So do you guys have a style of game that you're drawn more towards, either a shoot 'em up or a basic vector game or Space Invaders style? Basic vectors. Come on, guys.
You
they're basic.
Shit.
I don't know. I feel like I have a lot of Golden Age games, but within the confines of Golden Age, it spans a lot of stuff. Definitely, I have a great love for the vectors. I have all of the Atari vector minis, and I recently got an Omega Race mini. So, yeah, I have every single production vector cabaret ever made. Actually, the entire run of everything. I'm standing right here behind rows upon rows of Tempests. I have 2,000 Tempests behind
me. Like the cabarets are sitting on top of Neuenbach cabarets.
Yes.
To the ceiling.
Vectors, I mean, I love vector games. They're my absolute favorites. But I don't know. I feel like I have relatively diverse taste.
Yeah. I would say the same thing for me. I'm a very big fan of Williams games, but I definitely don't have... I have two Williams games.
They didn't make enough minis.
They didn't make enough minis, and but other than that, I've got my most recent game, I guess, is a 720, which kind of I got interested in that game because I was a skateboarder and I used to play that game in the arcade when I went skateboarding, and so that would drove me when I saw that one coming for sale. I was like, well, I've got to get that one. But other than that, I don't know. I guess I kind of like the run and gun games, if you're called those, Robotron or Food Fight or Berserk, because I've got all three of those, and those are ones that I play a hell of a lot.
I really want to play your Food Fight.
It's a nice Food Fight. But yeah, I'm definitely drawn toward the Williams games, and I don't have very many vectors. I only have an Asteroids, so I need to work on that department.
Slacking.
Brandon, what about you?
I'm going to say...
If it's not rare, Brandon doesn't have it.
If it's not rare. I'm going to say if it's not fast and engaging, I don't typically hold on to it. I mean, Robotron, you just kind of get sucked into that. I guess Major Havoc's not really in your face, you know, but it's rare, so.
It is rare. It's deep.
It's unique. And it's a vector, which you have to have.
A color vector.
So, you know, Tempest. Yeah. Omega Race. You know, if there's any, like, lull in the gameplay, I'm just kind of, I kind of lose interest, so. No cutscenes, fuck that. I mean, pretty much all the games that we have are in your face and just engaging. Otherwise, we wouldn't own them.
Simple to play, hard to master.
That really sums it up.
Yeah.
You know, there's, I really do like the games where you have to actually become proficient at it and not, you know, just feed money into it.
Yeah, like some of the later 90s games, like The Simpsons or...
Gimpsons?
Ninja Turtles or...
Turds in Time.
Even Double Dragon, I guess. Even though I would consider Double Dragon to be...
You can do that.
A little bit better.
Yeah. There are some 90s games I like. I really, really like the MVS. I have two MVS cabinets, dedicated machines, and probably 40 or 50 carts. I think the MVS is just great. And I do have a Ninja Turtles, which I bought because it was cheap. And I love shmup games. Love shmup games. So I have the Dodonpachi 2. You're welcome.
Dodonpachi 2.
And I have all of the Strikers 1945 games, boards only. And I've got most of the Raiden games and a couple other, games thrown in there, shmup type. Definitely, that's probably my second biggest passion after the classics. But I do like games that are more timing-based and not completely just insane speed-wise. Like, Taxcan gets nuts with speed. Spectar gets super fast. Even Tempest, you know, once you get up to, like, the red levels, starts getting pretty crazy. But, you know, I do like stuff more like Donkey Kong and Gorf, which are more about timing things right rather than just having quick reflexes.
Yeah.
And I think they also the simple to play thing is appealing because, you know, you feel like I'm going to kick ass every time you play it. You get a chance,
exactly.
You know, they ramp up slow enough, but they're super challenging. And that's one of the appeals to me because every time you have a chance, you know, that's one of the reasons why I don't like Missile Command. Because it's just, you know, come on.
Yeah, it sucks.
It sucks.
Most of the games is like every time you play, like this could be the game, and then you, I just almost made it, and you're like, no, this next one, this could be the game. It's just always like right there, just within your grasp. At least that's the way it feels most of the time.
Yeah, and it's like you can keep on coming back to Asteroids, keep coming back to Tempest, Centipede, and you can constantly improve your score. Where some of the games, you know, just by programming, you just hit a wall, and it doesn't make you want to pursue further.
Yeah. One thing that drives me up the fucking wall is games that have overly complex gameplay mechanics. You know, stuff like Asteroids is so dead simple to pick up. You know, there's nothing to it. And then I try to play games like Mappy, and it's like you open a door and it makes a sound wave, and it, like, what the fuck is happening in this game?
It's a two-way joystick and one button.
Yeah, but it sucks. I don't get it. It's overly complex for no good goddamn reason. And
Japan.
Yeah, I mean, they made Galaxian 2, which is pretty straightforward. So, I don't know. Overly complex game mechanics are a pet peeve of mine. I'm not into it.
Defender.
I am not into Defender.
That would be an overly complex game mechanic.
It is. I mean, I don't have enough fingers for all the buttons on that game.
So what about the games you're drawn to, Jordan?
I would say my games are probably a mix. Some nostalgia, of course, that I remember playing when I was a kid and, you know, just never got to play them enough. And, you know, now I want to play them, see if I really did suck that bad or not. Some are games that I found out, you know, after, you know, talking with other collectors and seeing other collections and, you know, going to the shows like California Extreme or the Seattle or Northwest Pinball and Game Room show. Some are just, you know, popular games like, hey, everybody else wants to collect this one. Let's check it out. And, yeah, that's pretty good too. But, you know, really I love vector games and, you know, once I get started onto something, I kind of want to like keep going all the way. And so I pretty much collected all the Atari vectors. I think I'm missing Lunar Lander.
I wouldn't say you're missing it.
I like Gravatar. I think that's close and better. And so I'm okay not having a Lunar Lander. And I can go up the street and play Friends if I really want to. So we're pretty lucky here in the Northwest, or at least in the Portland area. We could pretty much go play any game. There's a good collection of collectors, and it's all out there almost. I don't know.
I think Gravatar is definitely a superior game to Lunar Lander, and that's another one that I discovered.
Low bar to clear.
Well, maybe, but I was always a fan of Lunar Lander, even though I was never great at it, but I always thought it was a really cool game, and Gravatar was one of the games that I played at one of the at Ken's house around here for the first time.
And Ken House's house?
Ken House's house. And so, yeah, that's a...
Gravatar's amazing game. I remember playing Gravatar in the arcade. I do remember putting a quarter in it and not knowing what the fuck I was doing. And I think I did the classic, just thrust straight down into the rocks and die. Or I might not even made it to a world. I might have just been fucking around on the little level where you choose your planet. And like that was tough enough to where I just died on that. Like I didn't even get anywhere. But so yeah, thanks to other collectors, I found out about that game. And that's an amazing game. I'll always have one of those for sure. There's no way that I'll not have a Gravatar.
It's definitely one of those games that kicks your ass at the beginning. You're just like, I gotta get it. I gotta figure that out.
And I don't know. I guess I'll just keep talking about Gravatar. So I've seen people who are like, who are good at Gravatar, and it was just, it's amazing. You know, a guy came by one night, and he played for hours. You know, he was gonna, you know, he was in the reverse gravity levels, and there's so many planets, and then you do it all again. And then you do it all again, and you do it all again, but it's always different. Reverse gravity, invisible. It's just, it's insanely hard game, and it's, I mean, if you want a game for a home collection, that's the kind of game.
Yeah, I really like Gravatar. I think it's maybe on the cusp of overly complex game mechanic, but I really do like it. It's definitely a game I'd like to have at some point, even though it's not available in cabaret form.
Build your own.
At some point, I'm going to have to start doing that because I'll run out of non-shitty originals to collect. I have almost all the parts for my dedicated, but scratch-built Havoc mini project. I just have to get off my ass and actually start putting it together.
That's another game that's just, you know, Major Havoc is I don't know, it's so deep for what it is at the time it came out. It's just, it still blows my mind when I play it. People will come over who know nothing about classic arcades, born 20 years too late, whatever, never seen it before, and they play it, and they're just like, this is a really good game. This is, yeah.
I feel like it kind of bridges into that, I don't know, like, do you remember in the late 80s, early 90s, basically, you could make a platform game from fucking anything. They're like, hey, let's make a platform game about the spot in the 7-Up logo. All right. And it just, all right, let's do that. But platforms were so dominant, you know, platformers. Every other fucking game was a platformer. And Major Havoc, I feel like, is one of the earliest modern platform type games. You know, there's Mario Brothers before that, but in terms of, you know, a scrolling world that you explore, I can't think of another game from that era. I mean, I'm sure there are some, I just can't think of them. But it definitely has that sort of modern platformer feel, and so many people played, you know, like Super Mario Brothers, that I think it just feels kind of natural.
And it's not just a platformer, it's also a shooter, and it's also a breakout game. I mean, it's got a little bit of everything for everyone. Yeah.
Honestly, the shooter levels are my favorite, which is why I'm so into Taxkin, because it's just like the shooter levels, but that's the whole game.
I think the Roly Gig is an awesome controller for a shooter. I mean, I think that you could make, you know, a Galaga-type shooter or whatever with a Roly Gig controller. It would be fun as fuck.
Yeah, I thought for a while of building like a Galaga clone on Tempest hardware, but then I was like, well, there's Taxkin. I don't have to.
That's one of the reasons why I like Major as my microphone droops down.
We got some droop dick happening over here.
I mean, it should be going the other way around if we're talking about Havoc.
All right.
You know, that's one of the reasons why I like it. It's you know, you play Gravatar, which is awesome, and then there's not too many, you know, you said earlier, simple vector games. A lot of them are simple because they only draw what's necessary, so that's why they're so engaging. There's not clutter all over the screen, but, you know, besides Tempest, which is pretty busy, but busy in a good way, and it's done very well. Havoc's one of the only other, I think, vector games that I've played that's like that. And you just get all those elements. And I think I played it first in Jordan's basement. And I was just like, this game is fucking awesome. And I I did all I could to assemble, you know, exactly pretty much what you had. Because, you know, the dedicated ones are pretty unobtainable. And, you know, I eventually did get a dedicated cab. And now now it collects dust. But because I try not to play it too much because I don't want to ruin it for myself. I know my limits for it, and until I get a new dedicated game room, I don't want to wear out its welcome.
I mean, let's be real. Every game collects dust. Whether you play it or not, they just get fucking dusty. It's just hard to clean, man.
That's true.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, every day, you know, I come home and the shades up in the living room, I pull it down. It's like, God damn it. Havoc's going to get a layer of dust on there.
You got to get a drop cloth, man.
There you go.
I wondered if people do that. They put drop on their games.
Fizzgig.
Oh, yeah.
Fizzgig. Man, what a weird dude. Yeah. But yeah, he has drop cloths over his entire collection of games in his creepy warehouse.
I think even when the machines are on, too. Like, you know, it's like the old keyboards and, like, you know, like auto body shops that have like the plastic covers.
Yeah.
It's like,
yeah.
I mean, they are nice, but it's not the same thing
it's
for
like
most
like
of us.
Arcade morgue.
It is creepy as fucking shit.
So, speaking of creepy. Arcade collecting and creepy, Jordan, you're going to be heading to PAX in Seattle next week.
Yeah, I'm going up to explain to the furries about arcade collecting. I understand there's a few cosplayers as well. Maybe, maybe a weeaboo thrown in for fun, but yeah.
That's like the main, demographic right there is weeaboo.
So anyhow, hopefully it should be a good time. I don't know. I've never been there before. And another local guy, good Brian, not bad Brian
nope,
here.
I'm the bad one.
He put together a panel, or he goes up there all the time and wanted some of us to do a panel with him about finding, fixing, and restoring arcade games. Except it was another F. It was like the four Fs or something. You know, I don't know. I think I heard that before. I don't know if it had anything to do with arcade games.
Yeah. Unfortunately, I can't go to that. However, I kind of self-volunteered everyone that's sitting at the Omega Race cocktail to come to the Portland Retro Gaming Expo.
When is that happening?
I have no idea.
That is October 17th and 18th, 2015.
And
tickets are merely $35. Payable to me.
Yeah, so I think it's about time in our collecting careers to talk about just our journeys and, you know, kind of like what we're talking about tonight.
Exactly.
I think it'd be fun just to BS and just talk shop and just have other people join us, you know, if they want to. But I think it's just more for our own personal amusement because I just like talking about games. I enjoy your guys' company. And if other people want to see in the grandiose life of arcade collecting, that's fine too.
Yeah, well, PRG is so focused on, like, the cosplay and manga that it's, I think it would be really good for some of those people to, like, get some real talk. You know, it's, I feel like, you know, we donate a shitload of games every year so that they can set up their arcade and they'll come out and get played, but I don't think that's a good impression of what it's like to actually be in the shit. And, you know,
in the fucking trenches.
In the trenches.
Yeah.
I mean, this is kind of a hobby for older dudes, and so... I mean, it's true.
It's true.
And, you know, I really love all these games, and I'll be really sad if the next generation just shoves them all into a landfill. So I think it's actually really important to get the younger generation involved and interested in the preservation aspect of this hobby.
And that's another thing about the people that go to the Retro Gaming Expo is there's lots of console focus there, and there's lots of people that are our age that are into consoles and do remember arcade games. And when they actually go into the Free Play Arcade, they're like, oh my God, these things are still here. I can't believe it. And
Mario Brothers was an arcade game?
Yeah, exactly.
No. Fuck.
And the more we can have a presence there, like have a Portland Arcade Collectors booth and show people that you can work on these games and you can preserve them and still play them, I think that's going to open a few people's eyes, at least to the fact that it's not unattainable, that you just have to look around and keep your eyes open.
Yeah, I think a lot of people have the impression that these machines are worth way more than they're worth. Like, what was it today? The Frogger just
$2,700.
Like
it's worth $2,700.
Yeah, that Frogger. That's accurate. It's wood grain. It's wood
grain. Oh yeah. Oh,
yeah,
wood grain
yeah.
is worth at least $1,000 minimum. Yeah, the Frogger, just like a generic beat ass looking Frogger for sale for $2,000, which is a great deal because it's worth $2,700.
We're in the fucking sticks here, guys. Come on. It's Oregon. And so the only market for the average person is like, they just go on eBay and it's just like.
It's true.
So a lot of our games are just overpriced here. It's sad.
I mean, I don't know, but most of my games have been relatively inexpensive. I guess it adds up once you have 30, but you know, it's like, it's not thousands of dollars for these games. And I wish more people knew that you can actually do this and, you know, how to use their multimeter and
Yeah, that's. I think that's.
Install
the,
CRTs.
That's the hurdle right there. Is that if it's not plug and play, then lots of people are scared off.
Yeah, but they're so eminently repairable. I mean, they were designed to be repaired by apes. You know, just
you have to use your hands.
Just lean in.
Gross repair. Like, is it the monitor, the power supply, or the game board? Replace that one thing, right? You know, they're pretty modular in that sense, and anyone can do it if they spend, you know, 10 minutes learning. Definitely, you're not going to, you know, get into board repair or recapping or whatever, but you can keep a game running if you just have...
You can see if there's flipping 5 volts going to the PCB.
Yeah, exactly, instead of 0.005. But, I mean, you can do this. If you have a couple $100 extra, you can own and maintain an arcade game without that much hassle.
And it's great that there's resources out there now, like YouTube. I mean, when I first got my games...
Fuck YouTube.
I would watch many of the videos on there, people restoring games like John's Arcade, for one.
No!
Never heard of it.
But,
John, what? Who's Arcade?
Hey, guys. But no, watching something like that and watching him do things and watching someone do a cap kit or watching someone do wiring up a control panel. It's like you see it and then you're like, okay, well, I can probably do that. You know, I mean, just in any of the videos out there, arcade repair tips are another ones that I watched when I was first starting collecting.
Oh yeah. So many of the videos are just shit. Like Brandon said, people who don't understand how to pronounce the word chassis.
Just, I thought it was chassis.
Chassis.
No, I mean yolk.
It's like, yeah, monitor. you better say like chassis with a deep ass southern accent
to get away with it. Yeah.
Shit drives me up the fucking wall, man.
So there's that. So
we were talking about these TV games, right?
Mm-hmm. Games run off TV.
Games with a television monitor.
You gotta learn how to fix that TV in there. That's the main thing.
It needs a new bulb.
They ain't too hard to fix. So once you can do that, then you'll be on the right track. But like you guys are saying, seriously, it's all about trying to get more people involved in the hobby, more people restoring these games, just realizing it's obtainable to everybody, anybody who's interested and wants to learn about electronics. There's nothing that's going to kill you in there, I don't think, unless you're a real dumbass.
Unfortunately.
Yeah, unfortunately, the games seem to end up in those people's hands, but yeah, I don't know. That's not a good way to end this, what we were talking about. Oh yeah, so reaching out as far as like...
You're going to die.
You're going to die. No, you're not going to die. You're going to play games, your friends will think you're amazing, you'll have a cool-ass like arcade in your house, so... I don't know. That's the whole thing, just to try to get more people out there. Our local group, I think we've got like 125 members in now.
No, we don't.
And it's just a small, you know, just a little email list that, you know,
a Facebook group, did you say?
No, we don't have a Facebook group. Pussies and Retards, look it up. Yeah. But anyhow, you know, it started out with just like a couple guys off Clav and said, well, let's try to make something local. And, you know, we do get people who join who see us at the local show and say, hey, you know, I saw the arcade, I saw your booth, sign me up, this is cool, you know, I want to collect games, I have a game, I don't know what to do with it, it's been broken for 20 years, and yeah, let's get this thing working, and we point them, you know, to the resources, and hopefully they know what to do.
So, in wrapping up, why don't we go around the circle and say what our favorite game is out of our collection currently, Brandon?
No, I'm gonna say it's a tie between Omega Race and Major Havoc. You know, because Omega Race is, I think, how did Midway only make one vector game and just make it just engaging and awesome? I mean, I go play that and it's different than all the other vector games, and I can just keep on coming back to it. And then Major Havoc. I just like all the elements that we talked about. It's just, it's almost like three games in one. It's a multi-game, man.
It's like the Vector Gorf.
Exactly. And, you know, owning Vectors is just, you know, the badass status of collecting. If you don't own any Vectors, you're missing out. And, you can't really say much more than that. I like everything about it. I like the interface, the unique interface that it has. I do like that it's rare because, you know, you go to everyone's game room, you see Pac-Man, Centipede, you know, you don't always go to, you know, everyone's house and see Major Havoc, you know, beside, you know, Jordan's house. And I think three other members actually have conversions.
Stetson.
Then Chris. Stimpy. And then Stimpy shout out, sponsored by
CJ's Second Load. Inc.
And I believe Chris in our group has one, and then Ian has a cabaret in progress.
I don't. I just have parts.
Well, I'm just saying.
Someday.
I'm just saying.
But mine will be better.
But I've
true story.
I've definitely thinned the herd, and I've managed just to keep vectors. It seems like, and there's a reason for that. Like we said. Can't say any much more than that. So, Ian, what about you?
Pass it to Ian.
I tend to play the games that I've acquired most recently more than the others. So, right now, I've been playing a lot of the Doctor Who pinball and the Tetris Cabaret.
Tetris?
Tetris. Yep. I don't know. It's just, it's new, so I haven't played it as much. At least the Atari arcade version. I've definitely played the Game Boy version a shitload. And I also played the original Russian DOS version done with like square brackets and shit.
Yes.
I played that an inordinate amount.
With vodka?
No, I was like 12.
Oh.
With vodka?
I was a little with young vodka. For vodka.
I mean,
but on. I have been playing.
I was drunk by then. What's your problem?
Religion was my problem. But so I've been playing those two more than anything else right now. But I'm getting a new game tomorrow, so I'll probably be playing that a shitload.
Which is?
That is a...
Save it for next episode.
It's, ordinarily, I would not talk... I generally don't talk shit about games unless I actually have them in my possession. But it's... It got shipped, and it's at the shippers, and it's getting dropped off tomorrow. So it is a dedicated up-and-down cocktail. Up-and-down is one of those, like, weird games no one's ever heard of that I love. And it didn't come in a mini, and I would actually own an upright of it, but it's rare. It's rare. Because
how rare?
It's extremely rare. I don't know how rare it is. It was made in 1983. Is how rare it is.
Was it really?
Yeah.
That's like the same year as Havoc.
Which is also rare.
Yeah.
So just by association, it's rare.
It's guilty.
Quantum was in that year too, wasn't it?
Yeah. All the good games were in 83. Really.
Reactor.
Just garbage before that. So that's getting dropped off tomorrow, and I'm actually super excited for that. I'm not super into cocktail games, but I am super into Up and Down.
Yeah, that's a game that I'm not familiar
and
with.
In
so.
And Out.
I'll be interested to play that one for sure. Yeah, I think that the ones that we get, the ones that you've gotten the most recently is definitely ones you usually are playing the most. Like right now, I'm definitely playing Food Fight the most. So I would say it would be a tie for me between Food Fight and Robotron are my two tops as far as the game room is concerned. But Food Fight is definitely getting the lion's share of the play lately. So I'd say Food Fight.
I love that. The condition of that game that you got.
It is in good condition. It was someone brought it back from a conversion to restored it. I got it with the side art not applied, but I applied the side art and the T-molding, and it's pretty much good to go.
Jordan, what about you?
Lately, you know, like Ian said, you play the games that you got most recently. I haven't really picked up any games most
what?
Recently.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
You have Gunt yeah. Cycle, right?
My latest game is Gunt Cycle. it doesn't work yet, so I can't really play that. I put together a Exidy crack shot with the Mike Doyle's 440 kit. But I've had one of those games before, and so I basically just played Chiller a whole bunch and
yep.
remembered where all the hidden shit was, and now I don't play that anymore. And I helped a friend pick up a converted Track and Field that plays Double Dribble, and it's sitting in my garage tonight. So if I was going to play a game, I'd probably go play Double Dribble. Just to see those cut scenes of that slam dunking.
Nintendo Konami game?
Yeah, old school arcade. This thing was on Craigslist for months. The pictures had like cherry blossoms in the background, and now it's like fall. You know, the leaves are falling off. But anyhow, yeah, it's for a friend. But when I sit down and play, I usually have been playing either Mr. TNT or Ladybug on an arcade SD board in a cocktail. So that's what I've been playing.
I have a deep love for Mr. TNT.
It's a great game, great maze game. I mean, if you like maze games, that thing is the balls. It's tight. It needs like good, you know, it's hard to control. It's like the grid is so tight. And yep, that's what I've been playing. Great game.
All right, so let's call it first episode of The Coin Rejects. Not sure where this ship is taking us to next, but I'm sure it'll be extraordinarily exciting. Wouldn't you guys say?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
It's been fun.
All right.
All right, guys. See you next time.
No, that's just because...
I'm going to hit stop.
Look at the goddamn keyboard.
That's perfect. Look at that light. Yeah.
That's what you give your sense.
Like,
yeah.
I mean, if you're starting out,
and you didn't neck it.
I'm so glad you got that monitor back, dude.
Oh man,
God.
Yeah. I just immediately with all these emails, I'm like, just bring it back. Don't fuck with it. But it was too late. He already fucked with it. He broke a pot on it. He had it all fucking.
But he didn't neck the tube.
But he didn't neck the tube. Oh my
nice!
God. Oh, there you go. Yeah. Dude,
oh, it's there.
Tell me what I'm supposed to do.
Tell me what you're supposed to do.
Look at how disgusting the white rubbers are.
Right here in the center gun.
That guy now. Yeah. I was waiting for that thing to light up.
No, actually, we have to relock, right? Because I think mine. Oh, you fucked this.
Feels good.